Ryan is a public health undergraduate student at the University of Washington, focusing in behavioral health and public policy. Currently, they intern at Bloodworks Northwest, working a project partnered with the FDA to remove policies which prevent LGBTQ plus people and people of color from blood donation. His career goal is to pursue a master's in public administration to develop policy which serves people of color and gender nonconforming people in healthcare and education. Ryan's also a GLAAD ambassador. Please welcome Ryan to the stage.
Could you do me a big favor? So, my mom and my dad are separated, and I have family. Okay, you're gonna record. Hi, Mom. I would just want to say, can you all give yourselves a hand just for being here for all of us tonight as scholars? Thank you. So I'll give some journey, what I do, how Pride has impacted me, and sort of what I want to contribute moving forward. So. My journey started when I was a baby in Guyana, and I was born to two parents that dropped out of high school. My father, his parents died when they were teenagers, and my mother was disowned because she was a child out of wedlock. And so my father came to America to sort of have a new life and try to provide for his family. Having done that, he tried to deal drugs, sort of make ends meet in America, and eventually one day he was deported. So he came back to Guyana, he came back to South America, and then he sort of thought extorting money through having children from my mother or from other women would be the way that he could go about finding those means to an end. And it was so funny because the person who gave birth to me, she was neighbor to my cousin, who then came to me one day and looked at me and said, you know, can I take care of this baby for you? And then my mom said yes, and then what happened later on with that, my adopted dad, who was married to my cousin, wrote his name on my birth certificate, and that was how I became an American citizen. I was like listening to my mom sharing the story with me. I'm just like, wow, you did what? She's like, I broke the law for you. Thanks. And so I really just want to give it up to my adopted mom because she was an immigrant woman, a dark-skinned woman, and an indigenous woman who, as of, you know, came to America, graduated at the top of her class, went to Georgetown University, went to University of Maryland. And you think about how hard she worked, and she can still only work an office job. And with my father, he's Jamaican, a very dark-skinned man, came to America at 16 to sort of be a civil engineer. And they both really pushed on to me that you need to really work hard, and that there's this idea that you don't need to victimize yourself all the time, but at the same time, just show up who you are. And when the recession had happened, my mom at the time, she was a mortgage broker. She was trying to help people finance their homes as well. And so she lost all her clients. She lost her house. The bank took back our home. And so my dad also had to move across the country to the great old Washington state. So I went from the South in Florida to the opposite side of the country and without a sense as to what I was doing. And I thought it was a great adventure, but I had no idea as to what was going on. I was like 8 years old when this was happening. So no context. And when things got even more financially hard for my parents, they eventually separated and then split up. So I would be living in Eastern Washington, live in Canada for a bit with my father, come back to Washington, go to the other side of Canada, come back here. And then my mom was working three jobs. She worked as the jewelry department manager at Walmart. She was a tax preparation person. And then she also did customer service for AT&T. She did all of that to sort of just make me have a roof over my head. And when she was not able to make payments, my sister, who also has the same hardworking mindset, was able to cover some payments for our house. I only mention that because I think about what a privilege is, and they did so much work to sort of hide all these things from me, and I didn't really know what was going on. And so when I came out to them at 15, I wasn't really aware about all of these different pieces of how I came to this country in the first place. And then they told me, and that's where I like really understood that I went from probably one of the worst places in the world. If those that don't know about Guyana, we have the highest suicide rate in the world, a lot of domestic violence and just abject poverty. And they knew that they were going to be taking me from the circumstances and try to give me a better life. And they did their very best. So when I think about coming to the University of Washington, I really had no idea about what I was going to really be doing here in Seattle. Coming from, you know, Eastern Washington and Tri-Cities, good old Mormon town. It's great, yeah. And so I think about that I didn't really feel comfortable being a visibly black person, being someone who wanted to hide, being queer, and then thinking about what does my gender mean to me and thinking about what does it mean to be a gender nonconforming male and trying to learn all these pieces over and over again. And even at the same time, my parents, they did their best, and I know that they don't want me to fail or succeed, but they're teaching me the lesson of, like, you know, please just be happy because you came from so much and you don't need to be like a superstar. So I'm failing my classes in my first year of college after getting this scholarship. I'm thinking like, wow, what am I doing here? And then there are staffers from Bloodworks Northwest that had said, we're doing this project partnered with the FDA and we're going to try to get rid of the gay blood ban. And I was like, you bet. Seems like a stretch, but all right. And so over time, I got more comfortable and like more open with them and learning about why they valued this. And full disclosure, when I was 16 years old, I was deferred because I had shared on the blood donation form that I had STIs, I slept with other guys, and I did sex work. And these are things that automatically give you a lifetime ban that not many people were aware of until now. And so being at Bloodworks taught me that you need to honor the HIV and AIDS activists that have done the work of protesting against these laws and protesting against these policies and advocating for people when the government would never do that. And thinking about how hard people came before me, how much they had to sacrifice, that even though I wanted to give up so badly and I just wanted to stop and dealing with all these parts of my life and trying to deal with what am I doing, there were people that were basically pushing me and say, I want you to go and do your best. And that's what the Pride Foundation has really reminded me of doing so. And trying to always be mindful about where, you know, I fit in the world and I have all this privilege, and also recognize that I need to be making space for other people, even though I come from these marginalized spaces, because I don't want to be the special one. I don't care for being the special one. And at the same time, I need to remember to always believe in myself. Sorry, this is like sharing a lot. It's like an AA meeting, yeah? And so I think this journey taught me a lot about, you know, coming from all that stuff and still having the guts to just say you can do the most and you can show up however you want to choose to. And I think about how starting this fall, we're actually going to be getting a state variance in Washington that will allow gay, bisexual, and queer men to donate their platelets, which has never been done in the country. And also there's this racial nuance as well, which is so important because for those that do not know, in Washington State, if you are a black mother and you are having a pregnancy, if you do not have the blood that matches yours or organs that matches your genotype, your blood will then be rejected, your organs will be rejected, and that mother will not be able to deliver her baby and have a successful pregnancy. So there's also a context that needs to be applied as well in the science. So my job right now is to just recruit our fellow brothers and sisters in this fight and also try to get donors of color that will actually change a lot of the outcomes for women of color today. And I just want to say thank you all for coming here and just being present for all of us, because I didn't really think that what I did mattered. And when I first got this award, this is my second time getting this award, I was told I'm getting the Political Leadership Award. And full disclosure, I'm a GLAAD ambassador. I got to meet Beyonce. Oh my God. I got a flex. I got to meet Laverne Cox at the ACLU Bill of Rights dinner 2 years ago. Today's her birthday. I'm a dork. And the third thing, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm blanking, sorry. There's a lot. But no, just being in this space with you all and just being reminded that what I do actually matters, and being a Black person, being an immigrant, and coming from an immigrant family, that my presence in politics is radical, and like what I do in America actually does matter, and I don't need to tone my identity, hide it for people, wash down my Blackness. It's gonna be just unapologetic, and I need to show up as the full self. So, thank you. Yeah.